It's Spooky with the "these M&Ms are terrible" snack.
Whoa. I don't know who makes... My brain farted on who makes M&Ms, but they'll never sponsor us now.
Well,
but they'll sponsor Disney.
Listen,
Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Let me tell you the flavor. It's...
All right, hold on.
Yes. Do you hear that noise? This is my bag.
We're Matrimony of Madness.
They're all
okay?
Falling out of the bag.
Okay, that's who we are. It's madness in here. I'm sweating.
Well, the pants are not on. It is kind of hot in here.
I thought you said the pants aren't on. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm wearing pants. We dated on Halloween. We got married on Halloween. We spend all evenings talking about all things spooky. We are a family.
Fram.
I need to see my family. I miss them.
Fram. Fixing to
too
go
much,
to Greg's.
Too much country bear jamboree. Fixing to go to Greg's. We are a family-friendly podcast with all the blood and guts, and whether it's your first time listening or a frequent listener, we want to thank you for taking a stab at it. Why do you keep looking behind me at the door?
Because I was waiting to see if Django's fat face was going to come to the window.
Do you miss your mom? Yeah, you miss your mommy? So I do apologize. We have candy everywhere. So for those who don't like to hear rappers crinkling and are not a fan of ASMR, whether it be girls who are pretty much half naked saying they're doing ASMR, but they're just half naked, or actual ASMR, you might hear some.
Sometimes the girls are half naked, but they're like brushing the mic.
But like, do people really watch it for the brushing of the mic?
Maybe some people do, but no.
Maybe some people do, but no.
So let me just tell you, it is crunchy cookie is the flavor of these M&Ms. They're terrible. I don't like them. It's
well,
fine.
Boo to you. And you.
And you.
And you.
And you.
And you. My head hurts. Ah, your head hurts.
So the reason why we're making all these silly puns is because we went to...
The reason we're making all these silly puns is because we are jacked. That hit me in the ear.
It hit the listeners in the ear as well.
We are jacked on Buy Energy, not an ad, not sponsored, Starbucks. Where are you at? I'm going to switch. I'll switch to something else. I'll do it.
No, you won't.
I'll find a new sponsor.
You love don't those. Have,
I'll find a current. I'll find a sponsor.
You're going to this email?
I'll go to Greg's, who's this made-up person. Well, he's not made-up. He's a real person that we don't know who he is. I'll go to Greg's, and he probably makes something in his backyard. I'll get that.
Moonshine
Greg's,
or something?
Greg's glucose jacked.
Ew.
What'd you say, moonshine?
Moonshine.
I'm drinking no moonshine. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. So we went to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween this past weekend. As in weekend, I just mean one singular day.
It was 2 days ago. This past weekend, literally, that's the Ovons podcast.
Yep.
We went 2 days ago. Are we doing that now?
No, I was just saying, okay. Because people were probably like, what are they doing? That's what we were doing. But we will be talking about that in a little bit.
In a little bit, probably like 5 minutes.
That's all right.
So happy back to school for everyone. Teachers, we appreciate you. Thank you for doing it. For those of you who took the what's the word? For those of you who took the sabbatical to try and do something else, I also respect you because I get it. I get both sides of the spectrum.
So I thought you were gonna say for those of you who took the L.
For those of you who took the L, still appreciate you. You're doing the best you can. No. For those of you who stepped away from teaching because you're like, you know what? I'm going to do something more lucrative where I feel like I'm appreciated. I also get that. So I'm on both sides.
It might just not be for you, and that's okay.
I support. Well, maybe it is for them, but they're just not getting what they need, which also we don't have to get into that.
It's true.
That's too spooky for this podcast, I think.
Yeah.
We still have to do the sounds, the spooky sounds.
They're your sounds, remember? It's from your voice.
No, but that would be a fun episode. I wish we could... I mean, I think we could get away with putting a bunch of sounds in an episode. I mean, am I really going to get DCM made for a sound?
No, but I'm turning the fan on, so I'll BRB.
BRB. Okay. What do I do? It's Matrimony Madness. I don't know what to do without you. What do I do by myself?
Okay, well, I'm still here.
No, it's fine. So, yeah, we've got... It's more of a weird episode today because we're doing an event, and then we're doing an event review, a movie review, And news has been pretty scarce. So a little bit of a different episode. Oh, I do have to say something.
Yes.
And I didn't look it up to preface, so I'm going to butcher it.
That's okay.
I am so sorry.
Why are you and yelling? Oh my God.
I'm so sorry that the most messages I ever get from our podcast is that I forgot to talk about The Sandman. Okay?
We haven't watched it.
Hold on. I don't even know what to say. I'm sorry, okay? I got so many messages. You didn't say The Sandman released. You guys aren't going to watch The Sandman. You didn't talk about it. Okay, I'm sorry, okay? It's not my job. You want to pay me to talk about it? I'll talk about it. Everyone says it's great.
Really? Because I saw something where someone was like, this is not worth the hype. I guess he read the graphic novels or whatever it's based off, and okay, he was not happy.
That's maybe what we call somebody who's miserable, period.
No, they typically don't post miserable things. I mean, he said it in a nice way. He wasn't like, this sucks.
Well, he's what we call the outlier anomaly. Because according to everybody who's talking to me and won't leave me alone, it's a pure representation of the comics. It does well. It's good in live action form. A good Netflix show. People are very happy. I'm happy. I'm so glad and happy for you. I'm sorry we didn't talk about it two or three times. I'm sorry we haven't watched it. We're huge fans of Resident Evil and we haven't watched Resident Evil.
I mean, to be fair, we didn't talk about the new season of Lock and Key and I love that show.
That's not for this podcast, though.
It could. It's kind of.
I don't know.
You haven't seen it. It's kind of. I just binged the first season again with his mom. And there are some pretty creepy stuff in it.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we have that discussion a lot.
It's fine. So anyways, Sandman, if you guys...
To the Sandman followers, to the Sandman Legion out there, very sorry.
The Sandman Squad.
You know, if this was a 9-to-5 job and I had to take the risk, I would for my job. This isn't my job. I don't even know what my job is anymore.
All right. So anyways, let's move on.
Moving on. So, not much news.
What
I did want to talk about is we never have something to watch on Thanksgiving until now. There's a movie coming out called Amityville Thanksgiving.
I'm in. And then right after that, we can watch Black Friday.
I'm in for the wrong reason. I guess Black Friday is something you watch on Thanksgiving, so I redact that statement. But what we've got here is a struggling couple visit a marriage counselor for the holiday as a last resort. Soon after, they realize he has sinister intentions that may make this Thanksgiving their last.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa. So.
The suspense.
What a year for filmmakers who are making really low budget horror films that just go viral.
Fair.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm happy for these people because it's tough. It's a tough gig out there. The director is Will Colazzo Jr. He has a bunch of credits for, you know, low budget horror films. And as I go through, there's apparently a ton of other. There's a movie called Amityville Karen that exists out there that I think he did. There's Amityville Bigfoot.
So he did a lot of Amityvilles.
I don't know if this is him. This is the more like this on IMDb. But anyways, this one gained traction. And you know what? Maybe I'll give it a go. Why not? It's supposed to come out, I believe, November 8th, 2022. But you know what I'm waiting for?
Blood and Honey.
I'm waiting for some Blood and Honey.
I'm not going to lie. I thought you were going to say God of War.
Boy. Boy. I'm waiting for God of War. What if they came out the same day?
What would you do?
I would say boo to me and you and you and you and you. Happy Halloween. Just in August. Boo to you. Just everything.
Boo to you.
Boo to you. You did great. You did great with the work you did with my son today. Ah, boo to you.
Ah, boo to you.
Ah, top that. Ah, boo to you. Anyways, so that's all I got.
All right.
Not much news out there. Tons of movies. Black Phone. If you guys want to go back a couple episodes and listen to our review, Black Phone is now available on Peacock, so you don't have to buy it. You can now stream it if you have Peacock, so that's pretty nice. Cool. That's out there. Tons and tons of movies out there. Obviously, we haven't watched The Sandman. We haven't watched
Bodies, Bodies, Bodies
because it wasn't playing in our sleepy town of Ocala. We haven't watched They, Them yet, so It's been an anomaly where there's content, but there isn't content.
Also, apparently there's this, I got a message and they were like, you guys need to watch this. It's this new movie on Netflix called Incantation. And it looks scary.
Okay.
And then they were like, I feel like I cursed you by sending this to you. And I was like, kind of like, you know, like those email chains, like send it to 10 people. So they're like, yes, 100%.
What's the curse?
I don't know. I haven't watched the movie.
Sounds like sabotage.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know.
I'll do it. I don't care. I'm halfway there. I'm halfway to post-morbid, so
okay.
I'll watch it. I don't care. I'll watch Incantation. All
right, let's do it.
Let's do it. So, that brings us to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. We'll just be we're not going to do like a formulaic review. We're just going to talk about it. I feel like it's kind of impossible to not talk about some spoilers. So if you want to go in blind, which I've realized most Disney people don't want to do that.
Yeah.
They want to know everything first and then go and just get
I
it.
I am not that person. We're not. I like to go in blind.
We're not, but everyone else is. So we're going to hit up Mickey's Not So Scary. We're going to talk about Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. We're going to go into spoilers. We're not going to play the sound. We're just going to talk about it. So
just fast forward a little bit.
Just fast forward. We have our timestamps in the show notes if you want to hear our resurrection review or if you want to hear just the chit chatter or if you don't really like, you know, events or Disney things, this might not be for you.
Or us. And I'm sorry that you stumbled upon our podcast.
Yeah, my bad.
But have a killer week.
Have a killer week. You go ahead.
So, yeah. So for those of you who don't know what Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween is, it is an event held at Magic Kingdom at Disney World. Boo Bash is what it is at Disneyland. And it's basically a Halloween party for guests to show up to.
After hours.
After hours. You
separate ticket.
Yep, you have to buy a separate ticket. Even if you're a pass holder, you still have to buy a separate ticket. There are no discounts, just so you know. We all have to pay the same. I'm just going to wait for C-Max to finish up this little thing.
No, you want to talk over that.
Well, I got distracted. And yes, and you get to dress up in costumes. You know, there are some guidelines, of course. You can't, you know, bring in weapons, masks, stuff like that. But, and then there's little stations that you can go around, trick or treat, get some candy. They give you little bags. There's specific Halloween shows and parades and merchandise as well.
So what were you dressed as?
So I was dressed as Wanda dressed as Wanda.
I like it.
So those of you who
it's a true multiverse.
If you've seen WandaVision, there is a scene in WandaVision during Halloween and she is dressed as herself but in her comic book attire. So that's what I was. I was the comic book version of Wanda.
And you're also
the Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm. And you were matching.
And I was matching our...
Did you forget?
No.
I'm just joking.
Maybe I like when, you know, it's both of us talking. So, like, I'm waiting for you to throw me a question.
Shush. I talked this whole episode beforehand.
Why are you still yelling?
Because don't do that. Don't be like, I like when you talk also. I talked the whole time. We're at 13 minutes, 25 seconds.
I like when we both talk.
10 minutes of that was me. Well, I like when we both talk too.
All right, so why? I don't understand where the disconnect is.
The disconnect is I talked for 10 minutes and I didn't go, you know what? I like when you talk now.
Okay, but I'm just. I feel like those were totally different circumstances. Anyways.
Happy Halloween.
God, boo to you. So our friend Marianne David. She is pregnant. And she also dressed up as Wanda, but the pregnant Wanda. So, again.
I really liked
if
that.
If you guys know the show WandaVision, there's also a scene where Wanda is pregnant. And so, Marianne had, like.
Oh, no spoiler. No, I'm just kidding.
My bad. Marianne had her outfit for when she was pregnant. It was really cute. So, of course, we're walking around together as pregnant Wanda and then Halloween
Wanda.
Which
was really cool. It was a good touch.
It was really cute.
I was proud of y'all.
And
I liked it.
People were like, oh my gosh, look at the two Wandas. And a lot of people didn't realize we were together.
Yeah.
Like, in a group.
That's because she was in that wheelchair.
She wasn't
either
wheelchair.
Way ahead of us because David was steamrolling people.
That's true.
Or way behind. We were never like together.
That's true. That's because I was walking fast because the only way I could cool myself off was if I was walking and my cape created a wind tunnel up my back to cool me off. It was hot. At one time, I went to see Max, and I go, is my face sweating? He's like, your eyebrow is a little bit. Because I just felt like a drip of sweat into my eye, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sweating.
So hit them with what to expect when they walk in.
So
kind of talk about, let's go decor a little bit. Let's talk about throughout the park.
Yeah. Well, when you first walk in, when you buy your tickets, you buy it through the app and stuff like that, and it gets connected to your My Disney Experience. So when you go into the park with your Magic Band, it counts the admission for the park. I mean, admission for the party, as well as if you have a Magic Kingdom res, you can go into Magic Kingdom earlier. And then they give you a wristband right there at the front, and then you walk in, and then there's just pumpkins galore, glorious pumpkins. So they've got like scarecrows with pumpkins on them. All of like the fall leaves are hung up around Main Street. And then there's this giant sign that says this way to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween. Mm-hmm. And so we have to go off to the right because they're trying to get people out of the park. Because the event started at 7 and the park closed at 6. So those who didn't have an admission, they have to leave at 6, then there's kind of like an hour in between.
Oh, and did we not see the pain from someone who didn't plan accordingly?
Who?
We went on Splash Mountain.
Oh, yes, that was...
So I just want you guys to know, to be mindful, if you go to a separate ticketed event, whether it be Halloween Horror Nights, SeaWorld Spooktacular, I believe it's called,
mm-hmm.
Mickey's Not So Scary.
Howler Scream.
They are going to abide by the guidelines.
Yes, if it closes at 6,
it's closed at 6. It's closed,
it does not matter.
It's not that they hate you. It's not that they don't want your business. It's that this is the algorithm and the procedures and protocols to make sure they can reopen at 7 and do what they need to do.
Because they have to, within that hour, they have to bring out all the candy barrels. They have to clean. They have to bring out all the exclusive merch just for the party. So they have to do
They reboot the systems, I feel like, because they shut down the Magic Band.
Yeah, they do shut down. They shut down the Magic Band stuff. So they do a lot in just an hour. So we did see a family who was not very happy. Because
it was 6:20.
It was, yeah. It was.
You're being nice, and I love that about you. I'm going to be real. It's 6:20.
They should have already been out of the park.
She's trying to get into Splash Mountain. And she's like, ma'am, we're closed. Pretty please.
And she's like, well, how come they get to go in? Because there's a line.
Yeah.
But
well, we have the separate.
The thing is, also, if you're in line for a ride and it gets past 6, they're obviously not going to pull you out of the line.
She was not in the line.
But she wasn't
She's
in
trying
the line.
To do the genie lightning lane.
Yes.
But you have genie, you should have been.
Yeah, you should have been there. You had all day.
If you're saying this is your last ride, what, you did Thunder and Pirates and skipped Splash Mountain?
Yeah, why were you all in that
area? What were you doing?
Yeah.
Where were you?
It's all right there in that same area.
So she's pretty, I mean, it's 6:20. It's not 6. It's 6:20. You're not supposed to even be in the park.
Right.
And she's like, no, ma'am, I'm sorry. Pretty please.
Yeah.
Nope. She asked all the right questions. Do you have DAS? Do you have a separate ticketed event? I don't see a wristband. Can we get you a wristband? Nope. All right, well, sorry.
Yeah.
So. I mean, it is what it is. So just a fun tip.
And typically Disney would bend the rules, but again, they have an hour to do all this stuff. So guys,
it's the first
please plan accordingly.
It's the first night.
Yeah. If
you're not going to get it.
If you're
and we found that out later, which we'll talk about.
If you're at a park knowing that there's going to be an event happening that night, please just get everything done. Make your life easier. Make the workers' lives easier. Like, they're trying to bust their butt to get things ready for a huge event
100%.
That people pay for. So then, God forbid, people who pay for it are going to get mad if nothing's going on because they paid for it. So then it just creates a whole
Disney
snowball.
Influencers and all these people are not the easiest people to please.
No.
So... yeah, do the workers a favor, be kind, be nice, and just follow the rules because they're going to follow them because it's their job.
Yeah.
And they don't want to get fired because they don't want to go to Disney school all over again.
It's true.
Let's just say that.
So what was also really cool is there's a lot of characters that come out that are not typically out during the regular.
So you're finished with the decor?
Okay, so I will end the decor option by saying that after Main Street, there's no decor.
Maybe there is some, but very, very scarce. Mm-hmm. It looks, I would say, yeah, Main Street past the castle, very scarce, if anything. Yeah,
the Main Street and then the castle, like, corridor area and the castle itself, all decorated. Everything else behind the castle, the outskirts, Tomorrowland, Fantasyland, Adventureland, Frontierland, all of it's the same. None of it has changed. They might have, like, on, like, the poles, maybe some, like, fall flowers or, like, leaves, but that's it. Mm-hmm. So, don't be like me. Don't expect the whole entire park to be decorated.
But it won't be. You know, we're doing the Christmas party this year. I've spoken into existence, so I got to be a man of my word. I've been during Christmas, but I know Tomorrowland, I believe, has some Christmas stuff when you go.
Maybe a little bit, but they really don't. Again, they have, like, garland on light poles.
But I would say even that kind of touch would be, even leaves, and I know it's a lot, man. Disney's huge.
Well, no, it is huge. It is huge. What was really cool is I love how the wait time for Haunted Mansion is always 13 minutes.
That was really cool.
Yeah, that was a cool touch. So there is some
special touches there, which we'll get into. But decor-wise, you really get hit with it up front. And I almost wanted to be like, hey, guys, can I just sit here for, like, an hour?
Yeah.
Just watch people. And they have the there were a couple different decor options that are typically not there. They do have – and I don't know if this is every year because this is our first year going. They did have the carriage that said Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party on it.
Yeah, this way and not so – yeah.
So that's typically not there, but that is in the front. And then I feel like one of the highlights of the night was with the 50th anniversary. For those of you who have gone to Disney, they've got the statues.
The golden statues.
Well, when they take you to the Mickey's Not So Scary.
It's like back lot.
Back lot. We'll call it the back lot to get your bag. It's your first trick-or-treating stop. They give you a full-size bag of M&Ms that apparently she doesn't like.
They're terrible.
They have four or five custom Halloween golden statues that are awesome and epic, and it was very cool because best friend from the show, David, loves Disney, bleeds it. I'm pretty sure if you cut him open, Donald Duck would come out. He didn't even know about these.
No, he didn't, which was awesome.
So
we definitely kept that under wraps. Sorry for that spoiler, but
well, we told people we were going to talk about spoilers. Yeah. So, you know, if they chose, they chose.
True.
They made their choice. They put it in blood.
Whoa. All right. Blood sacrifice. Yeah.
So during Mickey's Not So Scary, they've got different Halloween trick-or-treat stops. As you said, you could trick-or-treat. You want to go into that a little bit? I mean, there's not much to go into, but
that's really not. Apparently, again, this was our first year, so we went in not being able to compare it to anything. We went in blind, apparently, the past couple of years, each barrel had its own candy, and they were usually, like, the bigger size. So, like, one barrel, just Snicker bars. Mm-hmm. Another candy stop would just be M&Ms or whatever. And that kind of promotes you or encourages you to go every single stop. Well, after the first couple of stops that we went to, we realized that it's all the same candy. It was just a mixture of, like, the mini
Halloween candy. Candies. I mean,
yeah, it was good candy.
Starburst, Twix.
Yeah, but it was
Snickers. What was it? Brownie or something.
Brownie almond
or something.
Yeah. So, but because of that,
Mars owns all these, right?
I think so. Yeah.
So it's Mars branded candy, basically. I believe. Yes. Is Mars on M&M's?
It would be on M&M's.
Let's see. We didn't do the research. This is organic. The candy's not organic, excuse me, but doing the organic. I believe
it is Mars.
Yeah,
it's
Mars.
It's Wrigley. Mars Wrigley.
Yeah, so distributed by Mars Wrigley, so.
Yep. So, basically, because of that, we were not really, like, motivated to go to every single candy stop like we would have if we knew they were all different. We just basically went to the ones if we, like, bumped into them. Like, if we were in that area.
Yeah, I don't think we did all of them. I think we just
So there's 15 stops.
Oh, wow. We definitely did not do all of them. Which is a lot. I didn't know there was that many.
A lot.
And you can go in them over and over again.
You can. And it's basically just one line. And it's a pretty smooth, continuous line. It doesn't really stop. Because basically, which was really good, is they have cast members there handing them out instead of you just going up there and picking out your candy. Because that would clog it up.
Yeah, 100%.
So you just go up and they just put candy in your bag. And it was pretty seamless.
So, yeah. For us adults, it was cool to trick-or-treat for a little bit. for the kids, it's crazy. They don't really care what they get. 15 yeah. different stops. So if you want to, if you want to make it,
candy.
If you want to, if that's what you're there for, what's the word I'm looking for? There's different environments that you can trick or treat in. Yeah. So one of them that we'll talk about later was right into Monster's Laugh floor, which I'm hit or miss on. So you got to trick or treat inside Monster's Laugh floor, which for kids is probably awesome.
Yeah, but there's two stops in there, and the entrance and the exit.
Yeah. So lots of different environments to trick or treat in. So definitely a plus there, especially if you're bringing kids. You're not going through the same line. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, 15 minutes over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
You can hit that line. If you want to walk around the park and just vibe, you do have the option to do that because of where the stops
are placed. Yeah, they're basically everywhere.
Which is really cool. There, to our next point, there is, with the current attractions, I guess is the best way to say it, there's a touch on some of the attractions that's only available during the Mickey's Not So Scary mm-hmm. Party.
Yeah, so for instance, in Pirates of the Caribbean, they have live actors in there that are talking to you, which is really cool. In Haunted Mansion, they actually have a ghost in the graveyard sitting there talking to people as mm-hmm. they're walking by. It's a real person.
Interacting with the crowd.
She has this crazy makeup or something mm-hmm. that makes her look like a ghost.
Mm-hmm. And the lore was that she's there all the time. We can only see her during Halloween.
During this time, yeah, which was really cool. And then Monster's Laugh Floor was also different. So the logo was made out of a pumpkin carving.
I love the logo. Favorite thing of the whole night.
Yeah, the logo
obviously the parade, but
yeah, the logo was really neat. It's basically like a pumpkin, and they carved the logo into the pumpkin. And
I would get that tattoo. I think
that would be cool.
Yeah.
And then instead of regular jokes, they would do Halloween jokes.
It was
jokes,
specifically tailored. All the crowd interactions and jokes were tailored to Halloween.
Yeah.
All the questions
and then the little things where they just randomly pop the camera on a random person. It's like, this person wants to eat their kid's candy or something like that.
Yeah, David got picked eating his kid's candy when he falls asleep. So it was all of Laugh 4 was tailored to Halloween, which is awesome. It's not I love Laugh 4. It's one of my favorite things at Disney. It's not the full attraction.
Experience.
It's basically almost like an open mic. That's like what it feels like. You pop in, you
that's
pop out. It's not structured.
It's not.
Because you've got people coming through the front trick-or-treating, and then randomly they'll put the Monster Comics on there. They'll do what they typically do, but it's not a structured full show, which I'm hit or miss on. I like it and I don't like it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm
would have I would have maybe preferred a whole Halloween show.
Yeah.
I don't think you need the two stops in there.
I agree. I was really bummed when that happened. Now, I was glad that we got mac and cheese for the Monsters.
Mac and cheese.
Because they're my favorite. So they, like you said, the Monsters will come out to do like a little show, to talk to people.
And you can sit in there as long as you want.
You can.
It rained, so I guess that was a plus as we sat in there for a little bit. You
but
know?
Not having the actual full experience was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I would say so. Pros and cons.
Yeah.
So we hit Monsters Laugh Floor, we hit Pirates, we hit Haunted, and then probably the main event.
What? The what? Oh, yes. The thing that I was most excited about, and I totally forgot.
You totally forgot. Which we did at the very last
we
thing
did
we did.
I think that whole last hour was very stressful for me. So Space Mountain, what they do during Halloween is they turn off all the lights.
Not Halloween, the Mickey's not the
sorry,
Mickey's
not so scary.
The Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween.
The party, yes. The event. They turn all the lights off inside Space Mountain. There's no stars. There's no projections of shooting stars. There's nothing. It's literally pitch black.
What hit me was the tunnel having nothing.
That was the craziest thing.
Because you know where you're at. You feel it.
That was nuts. And, man, I like it so much better in the dark.
It's playing this music that sounds like it's from 300, it's titled This Is Sparta.
It's weird. There was, like, growling.
Like, it was...
I apologize for your ears.
It was... But that's what it was.
But there was also, like, growling
it. Was,
in
like,
it.
Growling and opera singing.
It was crazy.
Leonidas kicking dudes in the chest. It was... I didn't know what to do. I will put it on the air. I am not the biggest fan of Space Mountain at Walt Disney World. It hurts. I'm too big. My arms are too lanky, so I feel like they're going to get chopped off. Especially after hearing that lady at Universal's finger got chopped off. Now I'm afraid my whole arm's going to get chopped off.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like in the news. Read it.
Wow, okay.
I'm just kidding. But It was awesome, but I definitely, like, cricked my neck.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely hurts because you don't know when the turns are coming. You can't see it. You literally can't see anything. So when things are turning, you're, like, thinking you're going to go one way and you're going the other way. And then you're like, it does hurt for
also,
adults.
This dude who has a YouTube recorded the whole thing. It's pitch black, yeah. Dude. There's nothing there, bud.
Yeah.
So, it's purgatory.
So our experience was a little hindered because his camera, of course, reflects a light, so it wasn't completely pitch black for us because the person in front of us had their camera out recording literally nothing, and that was kind of a bummer because it's like I kept getting distracted.
So, yeah.
Listen,
I get distracted
during movies, people on their phones, mm-hmm. and it's not even pitch black in there. So the fact that this guy had his camera out and that projected a light.
Well, it's like, what are you even doing?
It kept distracting me. Yeah, your video is just pitch black.
Your video is pitch black.
It's really dumb.
And me screaming.
It's really stupid.
So I hope your comments, I expect some monetization from his video.
I hope his comments are like, dude, this is a dumb video.
I hope his comments are, this video is dumb, but that dude is terrified and this makes it funny.
I hope he has comments that are like, skepticism. How do we know you're really on this? It's pitch black. We can't even see.
We're not being kind. I don't mean any of this. I hope the video goes viral. But I don't understand.
It was very inconsiderate.
It was inconsiderate and rude. Be considerate. Go watch Jordan Peele's Nope. Okay?
Well, I don't think people who are inconsiderate would understand that.
That movie gets better every day I wake up. It's like the monster's canister.
Yeah.
I wake up and goes, the movie gets better every day. So those were the different like attraction experience, the different attraction experiences that you can get. I'm about it. I don't want to be that guy that's like they could do more, but I feel like they could, especially knowing that Disneyland does the full Nightmare Before Christmas experience, mm-hmm. you know. But that would be, again, you couldn't do that and then take it down.
No,
it
would have to be up. So, which Disneyland just keeps it up year round. So
for experiences that you can get just in a night that you paid for, I'd say the Space Mountain thing's definitely awesome.
Well, and that's an easy thing. They just flip the lights off.
It's easy, but man, it doesn't make a huge difference.
100%. 100%. I definitely agree. I also
the last floor stuff was great also. Yes. Again, I'm hit or miss on it, but like that logo and them just doing Halloween jokes was really cool.
No, that was cool. I definitely wanted more. However, I'm trying to think about kids because this is geared towards kids.
It is.
And that's okay. It's Disney. I know what I'm signing up for. So I have to try to just remember that not everyone is as crazy for Halloween as I am. So I just have to let it go.
You're right. And you know what? Just you saying that means you're growing.
It's true. So with that being said, the last thing I feel like we should talk about is the shows.
Absolutely. The entertainment.
The entertainment. So there is three specific pieces of entertainment for this party. One of them is the Hocus Pocus show, which basically is the Sanderson sisters come out and they're trying to brew something in like their cauldron, mm-hmm. and they need specific ingredients, and those ingredients come from villains. So like Dr. Facilier was the first villain that came out, and then Oogie Boogie came out, and then it rained, and then it got canceled.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to see the whole thing.
I'm pretty sure Ursula and the rest of the villains come out.
Yeah. So we didn't get to see the whole thing, was kind of a bummer. But what we did see, I really liked. I thought it was really cool. The songs were a slap. And
because they're slightly remixing the songs you already know.
Yeah, so like Dr. Facilier's main song, he basically says the whole song except a little
Friends
tweaks.
On the Other Side, right?
Yeah, Friends on the Other Side. Little tweaks here and there to fit the show. So, again, we didn't get to see the whole thing, and because the rain just came in, and then it was just wet.
Yeah, the rain came in and then kind of stayed fluent for a while. It wasn't a thunderstorm.
It just kind of spit on us the whole time.
Yeah, you described it on the way home. I can't remember what you said, but what you said was like perfect. It wasn't a thunderstorm that was like 30 minutes. It wasn't like a hard thunderstorm tsunami. It was literally, I'm going to lightly drizzle you for like 3 hours.
Yeah. And so they just kept the floor wet the whole time.
David said it was a Seattle rain is what he said.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's not Disney's fault, man. You pay and you go and it says in the ticket, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Rain or shine.
I believe they did the midnight show. But we just had to – there was other things we had to do.
Yeah, they might have done the midnight show.
And we waited a while in our viewing area to watch the show that inevitably was canceled. But what we saw of it was great. Definitely get there early because for any show, but especially this show, it gets packed.
Yeah, and if you want to be able to see everything that's happening on stage, definitely camp out type of thing. Mm-hmm.
So the second part of the entertainment that we saw, they're really in no order, was the fireworks.
Yes. Now, we didn't get to see the front of the castle. We just got to hear what was going on. So Jack comes out.
But it is confirmed it is the show from prior years. It's the fireworks.
Okay, it's the same fireworks show.
It's the visuals and show from prior years.
So with Jack, Jack comes out with Zero, and then... I think Donald, Mickey, and Minnie, they're running away from something, villains come out, stuff like that, and while all this is happening, fireworks are going on at the same time.
So they, God bless you.
Thank you.
So they queued up the fireworks really quickly. It was still almost drizzling.
It was.
And they just pulled the trigger and were like, you know, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
It's safe enough. And so they delayed it, and then when they said they were going to do it,
It started immediately.
Like, an announcement came over and started. We didn't get to see the front of the castle, so I don't know how many people were waiting, if they were.
Yeah.
But we experienced the fireworks in a unique way. Not seeing the visuals on the screen was a bummer, but I can just watch a 1080p rip on YouTube. But we were, close to Corona and... The universe from Tangled, the Tangled universe, Corona, and...
No, we were right next to PhilharMagic.
Yes.
We were in Fantasyland next to PhilharMagic.
So we were in Fantasyland next
to... By the carousel.
By the carousel. And we were able to see the fireworks go from the different places they go. So it's almost like we were surrounded.
Yeah.
And everybody, of course, booked it madhouse trying to get to the front of the castle, which is impossible. If the show starts, you're cooked unless you stand in the back.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get
there.
Which
the viewing area is probably good because it's portrayed on the castle regardless. But it was really unique. Really unique way to experience the fireworks because it's coming from all different directions. And it was like those pictures where they take a picture when people go during a hurricane that never comes and everything's vacant. It was kind of vacant.
It was.
And the fireworks are just shooting. We're kind of standing in the...
We're kind of in the middle
alley.
Of it, everything, yeah.
So that was really cool and a unique way to do it. I would say at night, if you ever want a new experience for those Disney lifers or even those who have a couple days, just hang out by the carousel and watch these bad boys surround you. It was pretty cool. It was cool to see, it was cool to see the kids and, you know, the adults, you know, the Disney magic, as you would say. Mm-hmm. Wishes!
Wishes!
And then what'd that kid say afterward? I'm freaking Spider-Man.
He said, "Watch out, it's Spider-Man!"
Oh, yeah.
and he jumped and did the Irish
stoked.
Jump thing. It was cool.
This kid was so stoked after the fireworks. He's full Spider-Man garb, and he just goes, "Watch out, it's Spider-Man!" Dude, he was stoked.
And he was like, he was in the air and everything. I was like, "Dude, this kid is awesome."
He was lit.
He was lit.
So that brings us to the final entertainment attraction, which is what's it called? What's the parade called?
Boo to you.
So the song's a slammer. It's the same song they use every year. We've been singing it nonstop all day and then also singing it on this podcast.
It's true.
But it was great. I'm really glad they got to do it. Our seating, our standing area stuff was very good because we got insider baseball that they were just going to do it.
Yeah.
So then as soon as the fireworks were over, we jetted over to a spot where we could be at the rope drop or the rope line, whatever you want to call it. And the staff were stoked.
Yeah.
Like, it was really cool. Like, you could tell almost the staff were like, man, like, we want this to happen too. You know,
yeah, because I mean, and they've been practicing and to, you know, the choreography and everything. So they were super excited. They basically had sweepers come by to sweep away some of the water and, on
and
the floor.
And people clapped for them, which was cool.
Yeah.
Because they need support too, man. Like, the people changing the trash. We went to Universal, God bless, and I don't know if the trash crew just all called out that day. Dude, there was trash overflowing everywhere.
Yeah, it was gross.
So, I know you guys, some of you guys get pissy when they're changing trash next to you. You want that.
Trust me. So, yeah, so the parade, man, the parade was so good.
Parade was great.
They, again, it brings out characters that we don't typically see. And not just, like, spooky characters. Like, they had Wreck-It Ralph and Vanellope.
Pain and Panic.
Pain and Panic. I was so happy. They had a whole Haunted Mansion area where they had
that was great.
They had all the ghosts. So people dressed up as all the ghosts. They had the grave diggers with the shovels. And they would kind of slide it. Well, not kind of. They would slide it on the asphalt. And sparks would fly, which was really cool to see. And they had the ghost dancing from Haunted Mansion, like, during the ballroom. Yeah. They're doing the ballroom dance.
Yeah, that was great, too.
That was really cool, because they were kind of moving like zombies as they're dancing.
Huge pirate ship for Hook. And, you know, in the song, they remix some of the character-oriented songs inside of the...
Mm-hmm.
They had what I called the David S. Pumpkins Band.
Yes, that band was really cool. Yeah.
Headless Horseman didn't come out in the beginning, probably because of the rain, and I get it. Yeah. Like, I don't want anybody getting
I don't want
hurt
the horse
injured. I don't want the
slipping.
Horse getting scared.
Yeah. But typically, the Headless Horseman will ride out on his horse with his head in his hand right before the parade and basically set the tone. And then,
go ahead.
They had a section where they had just a mixture of villains come out dancing.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. And then you have Maleficent and the Evil Queen at
heroes
the end.
Heroes, too. You know, the beginning had Flynn, Rapunzel.
Yeah, the beginning
yeah,
was
Aladdin.
All heroes.
Yeah.
It was all heroes in the beginning.
Flynn had a cheering section. I loved it.
Yeah.
When you saw that.
No, that was cute. So heroes in the beginning, and then kind of like sidekicks, and then the villains.
It was cool.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say something.
What?
So one of the things we were most excited about... We thought Max in the Powerline suit was going to be in the parade.
Okay, well, Disney announced that he was going to be in the parade.
Okay.
Disney, like, posted that he was going to be there.
He wasn't.
Maybe not in the parade, but they posted that he was going to be there.
We did not see him.
He was not there.
Rumor is he was on Main Street. We didn't see him. And that's the problem. I'd have preferred ignorance is bliss.
For sure. And there now, when we went to Space Mountain, there is a stage by Space Mountain where they have, like, dance parties. When we were going to Space Mountain, they were playing the Powerline song. So I'm wondering if he comes out during... He wasn't out.
Yeah.
There was actually nobody there. They were just playing the song on the stage. But I'm wondering if he comes out on that stage and dances.
David had also mentioned, like, a giant Jack float at the end, but I didn't see that, but I don't know. Maybe that's at Boo Bash. I can't confirm.
Yeah, I don't...
We'd have to take a look. So we're going, basically, with what we were able to experience.
Yeah.
So everything we say... that we for sure experience is for sure happening. Everything we say is a grain of salt. The night ended, unfortunately, with a bit of dismay because, and this is where I got to say two things. First thing I'm saying is I'm taking full responsibility for this. This is our fault. We were told by other people that they keep the shops open later. And we did Space Mountain. We got there in time. We did it. And then we went to shop. Because honestly, I don't know if we had time.
We would have
the
had
whole
time.
Night.
We probably got to the shop at I want to say like maybe 12:20, 12:15, maybe.
Having been told by a lot of people who are Disney lifers that the shops would be open, they were not. They closed them, would not let people in. They were going to let one per party in, and this lady decided that that wasn't good enough. So they said, you know what? We're not going in. Again, be kind. Like, if that lady's out there, I really hope your life gets better. You're miserable, and you make everyone around you miserable. And I don't really know what your purpose is, but I want you to find that purpose.
For reference, the event ended at midnight. just so you guys know.
So, yeah, they, at least right now, they are closing everything at midnight, and they're getting their, they're not forcing you out. You can still walk around. Like, they weren't
on,
very,
on Main Street, they were not forcing. Yeah, they weren't, like,
but
pushing
they're closing
out.
Everything else down.
But everything is
the
closed.
The rides are closing down, yeah. They don't mind you walking around. And nope, it's not like those football games you go to. They're like, can't stay home. Can't stay here, but you got to go home. Yeah. Get out. You know. So we didn't get to shop at all. We didn't get to cop any of the exclusive merch. Shout out to David, who went today to get some of the merch that is there. Two things that bothered me before we give our score. And now, granted, this could be a grain of salt rumor type thing. I don't know. I can't source it. They're supposed to be a zero popcorn bucket, correct? Was that announced by Disney, or are we assuming, or...
Yes, I saw a picture of it.
That was not there.
It was not there.
So here's the thing. If you're only going to bring that out in October, give me the opportunity to pre-order it, because it wasn't there.
Correct.
No way to get it. I paid admission for the ticket, and it's not there. So if you're going to make that exclusive to certain dates, I feel like that needs to be put in there.
It needs to be announced. Or October only popcorn bucket.
Or it needs to be an add-on addition when I book my ticket. Would you like the zero popcorn bucket available for pickup, or we'll ship it to you? It's not available until this day.
Right.
I don't need it now, but these people in October, I believe, are paying the same price as me, getting more things. And I just don't think that's the way to do business. That's just me. Secondly, we believe that at 6 o'clock, they let people who did not have a ticket for Not So Scary buy Not So Scary merch.
So I was talking to your mom about this, because I told her about the stuff.
And I could be wrong.
And
maybe
she thinks that line, either A, they cut the line off and they could only shop for the typical stuff that would be out, mm-hmm, and not the exclusive, or B, if you got in that line, when you got to the front to get in, you have to show your wristband. So she thinks, well, maybe you got to show your wristband at the front of the door, and they wouldn't let you in if you didn't have it.
We don't know for sure.
We don't. That's so just
skepticism. It's all skepticism. I don't understand why you'd wait in that line to shop when you had all day. Like, the Halloween merch was out. Mm-hmm. The exclusive stuff just wasn't out. So I don't know why you would wait in that big of a line to get into the Emporium.
Why I think it was people for the party.
Okay.
I think people from the party went in line so that they could get it done out of the way, so things didn't sell out.
Honestly, that's what we should have done.
Because
looking back on it,
because I got a locker as soon as we got in, and we got in at 4:30, and I got a locker because I didn't want to wear my costume until the party started, and all of the extra large lockers were sold out already.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if people just get a ton of merch and just stuff it in the locker.
Fair. So with all we said, with all we talked about, you know, obviously the rain, we can't control that. What would you give the event?
So I really, man, just seeing people in costumes, mm-hmm, is like a natural serotonin for me.
Yeah, it was great to hear Happy Halloween on August, what?
August 12th.
Yeah. That was very cool.
I was so happy. Like,
I think they're open the earliest.
They are. They are open the earliest.
We get Halloween Horror Nights in what, 2 weeks?
Yep. The weekend of September 1st is Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
And so just the fact that I could be in that environment, the Halloween environment on August 12th, just brought me so much joy. I love seeing people dressed up. There were adults that were dressed up. Like, just seeing people.
Lots of people were dressed up.
Seeing people just in the Halloween spirit in, mm-hmm, general just made me so happy. Mm-hmm. I also forgot to mention during the decor part, when you're leaving, they have pumpkins above the arc as you're leaving, and carved in the pumpkins, it says, see you real soon, or something like that.
That was cool. Some good touches.
Knowing now what it is, mm-hmm, I mean, I still enjoyed it. I definitely want to go back.
I'd say you review it as, like, if we were able to do everything we were supposed to do. If we were able to shop,
if I was able to, if it didn't,
I think you have to review it that way, because it would basically be like if we went and saw Jordan Peele's Nope, but the projector cut out in the middle and then they never.
Well, like Thor.
Yeah, it's like.
So like when we saw Thor.
So you have to review it based off of what it's supposed to be. I feel
if it didn't rain and we got to see all the shows and we got to see, you know, the fireworks from the front of the castle, and if I was able to shop the way that I wanted to, I mean, I had a good time regardless, but even being able to add all that stuff, I thought it would have just been even better.
Okay.
It's definitely something that I want to go back and experience, especially knowing now what there is. Mm-hmm. My expectations for decorations was way too high, but now it's not. So now I know not to expect something crazy. Like, I was even expecting the big Mickey head pumpkin in the front, and we didn't get that. Now, again, people are speculating they don't bring that out till closer to Halloween.
Yeah, and so this review is premature because if they're bringing additional stuff out, then it's like, hey, man. You know.
Yeah. So
we're not your guinea pigs. We're paying for the
event. So it's almost like next time I want to go close, like in October. And
I mean, there's
see...
potential to go this year. We don't know. Yeah. You know.
And if we go again this year, then we're compared to see if there's anything different.
So for those of you who don't know, we do everything on a hack and slash, slasher, and the final girl scale. What would you say?
I would say it was a slasher.
Yeah. I would say slasher, but low tier.
So hack and slash?
No.
Or slasher, just low tier.
It gets the slasher rating, but it...
That's even if we got to do everything and not no issues happened?
I think so.
Okay.
Man, it's rough because for those of you who don't know, I'm not a fan of Magic Kingdom. My blood pressure was in the hundreds before we got on the ferry. The way the Magic Kingdom is laid out and just the and it's not Disney's fault. It's not the event's fault, but just the people it brings.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
What if this was at Epcot?
Slasher.
It would be a solid slasher.
I'm giving it a slasher rating.
What I'm saying is, if it was at a different park, would it be not a low slasher?
I don't think the low tier matters. I'm just saying.
Oh, well, you said it, so I thought like.
Yeah, I'm just getting through my thoughts. It's a slasher. You guys can take that what it is.
Okay.
But it's a slasher.
All right.
If you want a number scale of what a slasher is, it's like a 7 to a 9.75. So there's lots of room in there.
There's lots of room. There's lots of wiggle room.
Hack and slash is 7 and below. Hack to me is like 5 and below.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our review and discussion of Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween. We are going to now go into a quick review and spoiler discussion on a movie we watched recently that we've talked about a lot on the podcast called Resurrection, starring Rebecca Hall and Tim Roth. We've discussed it before. It's basically the premise is it's a movie, what the trailers would show you, which is what obviously you would see before the movie starts, is that there's this lady named Margaret who's very... what's the words I'm looking for? She reeks of like confidence and she has this prowess to her. And then she sees this man at a conference that she's at and things start spiraling out of control for her mentally. She starts to talk about her past and how this person's horrible and how she did some things that she can't speak of and they're unforgivable. And she basically just goes down this lane of just mental breakdown. She sees a baby. She has a hallucination where she sees a baby in an oven, which is in the trailer, so that's not a spoiler. That's kind of the premise. You know, her past comes back to haunt her, and things start raveling, and stories start raveling from there. Directed by Andrew Simmons, who hasn't done much that I've watched. But this may have been probably one of the biggest, the biggest release he's had, especially with Tim Roth and Rebecca Hall. So I'll go first because Spooky likes when I go first. This is the non-spoiler review. I thought Rebecca Hall. I said it in the beginning. Rebecca Hall, you know her from Tales from the Loop. You know her from The Night House. She's an incredible actress. She does so much method acting, and she does so much physical acting with her face and just her structure. We never looked up how tall she is, but man, if she's not tall, she makes it seem like she's 7 foot. she just knows how to use her body, and she knows how to manipulate her joints and do things that really give off physiologically and mentally how she's feeling. There's times where she's having like breakdowns, and I mean, you feel it, man. There's times where she's having, there's this scene in the movie where she's giving a monologue to an intern because you find out that she works at a biotech company. She's rich and she's very powerful and she's big into the medical community that she's in her job.
She is also 5'9"
Okay, 5'9" She seems like she's
almost,
7 foot.
She's almost 6 foot.
She's almost as tall as me.
Yeah.
She seems like she's 7 foot tall. Her performance was fantastic. Just, I think you could write, there's actors and actresses like this where they say you could write, you know, it's like the AJ Styles, he could have a match with a broom.
Yeah.
It, like, same thing, you could put her in a, you could put her in a movie with a bunch of porcelain dolls and paint canvases and she would sell the movie.
You know what's weird? When you said that, the first thing that popped in my head was put in a room full of whales. And I don't know why.
Put in a room full of belugas. She would sell this movie. She sells the movie, and the movie is a lot of the movie is what's it's her and what's happening around her, if I could say that correctly.
Yeah.
She's the star of the show. Tim Roth does a great job at being creepy when he comes back into her life. I feel like he was underutilized. I feel like they didn't have to get as good of an actor, but I feel like with what he was trying to do, he was able to do. And then her daughter, who was played by Grace Kaufman, I believe, she does her part, just an angsty, edgy, I'm out of high school, I know everything, I'm going to college, mom, you don't need me anymore, there's nothing, you don't need me, I'm going to...
I'm an adult, even though I'm not 18.
I'm going to Nancy's. What'd
I think
say?
It was Nancy,
I'm going to Nancy's house. The writing around the story, I'm not sure how big of a fan I was. I know the themes that they're trying to communicate. There's a lot of themes of grief and projection and mental abuse and even stereotypes. I've seen them communicated better in other movies, and I feel they were communicated well in the sense of I totally knew what was going on, but then I felt like there were moments where things were taking a left turn that almost it's like you watch a movie that's very creatively done, and like Mother, for example, Darren Aronofsky, like that movie is crazy, people love it or hate it, but like what they communicated was done subtly and crazily, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
This movie, I felt like, okay, we're going down this path, it's pretty straightforward, derailed. Look at this crazy thing we put in here, don't you like this crazy thing? And it's like, I sort of liked the direction we were headed with the low-key ambiance that I liked the low-key ambiance and overtones that we were projecting. You didn't have to add these crazy loopholes to further sell me on what you're trying to sell, if that makes sense. Like the Night House, not going to spoil anything, stays consistent the whole movie.
Yeah.
And then you get to the ending and you're like, oh man, nuts.
Yeah.
This movie is like, okay, we're heading down a pretty cool path. Here's this huge derailing thing that happens that doesn't really need to be in the movie. It's because we want to be an art film. And I had that vibe 3 or 4 times, especially when it got to the ending. I think the ending was so stupid. And it could have wrapped itself up. It could have said what it needed to say. And the last 10 minutes, I was almost kind of groaning inside. Because they just had to add almost like shock value. And don't you feel like this is an art piece? Look at this art piece that we're making. When the movie leading up to that was more ambiance, more Rebecca Hall dealing with mental anguish, her going on monologues that I thought were incredible. They didn't let her and Tim carry the movie to its denouement. They more or less ended the movie with, look at all these crazy things that happened. Isn't that what you wanted? And it's like, well, that wasn't the premise of the film. When you watch a Darren Aronofsky movie, or you watch a Los Antimos movie, you know what's going to happen. This was very down to earth, communicated very well, kind of had like a minor Uncut Gems feeling, if you would agree, in the beginning, where it's like, I feel weird. Like, what's going on? I feel, is she being stalked by this dude? Is she losing it? You know, I had that kind of like, and then she made really stupid, dumb decisions. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of Uncut Gems, and I was like, man, this is going really well. And then I'll let you talk too. And then it got to the ending, and I just kind of, I lost all my steam. So that's my non-spoiler review. If you're a fan of, and we should start doing that maybe, if you're a fan of this movie or this movie, you should check out this movie. But I feel if you're a fan of very strong acting, very slow-paced, low-key movies, but expect weird, crazy stuff to happen that's out of place, mm-hmm. if you're willing to give it a shot, I say give it a shot. That's what I have for my non-spoiler review. How about you for a non-spoiler review?
I definitely agree. I mean, the acting was really good. I also liked the music that was in it. I felt like that was fitting. They had, like, different shots throughout the film that I thought were really cool. So, I thought, without going into spoilers, I feel like they did a good job at describing or portraying those types of relationships. I liked the way that they did it.
I agree. The last 10 minutes of the movie.
No. Yeah. I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about their relationship.
Sure.
Not the movie.
Gotcha.
Their relationship.
Their relationship as people. We don't want to give away what it was.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So their relationship on just whatever the relationship on the type of relationship they have, I feel like they did portray that really well. I felt like I did not get the Uncut Gems feeling that you did.
Okay.
I felt like it was weirdly paced because I felt like you said, they were doing really good with like undertones or overtones, however you want to say. I don't know
either way
what the difference is.
But I mean both.
I felt like they did do really good at kind of staying, like what's going on type of thing. But there was a certain part of the movie where I was like, okay, they need to start getting to the point.
Yeah, where are we going?
Yeah. So, I hated the ending. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about the same thing, which I think we are without getting into spoilers, I thought that part was unnecessary. Mm-hmm. I thought they didn't need to do it. I felt like if it kept more of the viewer guessing, it would have hit a lot more than what they did instead.
There is a ambiguous, for those of you who are into ambiguous endings, she's talking about the prelude, I think, to the ending. There's this crazy thing that happens that we feel is just unnecessary, didn't need to be in there. The ending does leave you with like, the ending does leave you
guessing,
ambiguous.
It does.
It's like it's an Inception style ending where it's like where you start to assume and
then like
troubleshoot what happened.
Yeah, and then literally like the last 5 seconds something changes and you're like, oh, okay, wait a second.
I'm okay with that. My biggest issue is what happens before.
No. I'm okay with that as well. Okay. If it wasn't for that scene, I would have hated it.
Gotcha.
I would have hated everything about the last 30 minutes.
I understand.
So I feel like the last, 2 minutes maybe, is what saved it for me.
Yeah, it redeems the movie almost.
It does.
In a sense.
So that's kind of where I'm at.
So what I think we should do is people don't, and this is just, you know, we don't plan this. We just go, this is organic. This is a marriage. I think we should do the review during the non-spoiler, because then people can hear it, and if they do value our voice and trust it, which they don't have to, they know how we feel going in, because you would have to hear the spoiler section.
Well,
to
yeah,
get the review.
That's I feel like I mentioned that to
maybe
you,
you have.
And maybe
you
I
know
just
what?
Didn't.
I'm gonna touch your hand right here. You probably have.
Okay.
So what would you give it? As for those of you who didn't listen to our Mickey's Not So Scary review, we review everything on a hack and slash, slasher, and the final girl. Final Girl being creme de la creme, top 10. That's your BioShock the game.
It's true.
And your It Follows hot take.
I don't think that's a hot take.
Cut it. Send it. Your hack would be, you know, five below, your hack and slash is going to be, you know, your 7 and below, slash your 7 to 9.75, final girl being that creme de la creme. What would you say?
If it wasn't for the last minute, it would be a hack and slash.
I'm going to go ahead and say full-blown 100% hack and slash.
Yeah.
I'm going to say hack and slash.
I'm going to just go ahead and put on the record, I will not watch this ever again.
I won't watch it ever again either.
So would that be considered hack? If I feel like I've never watched
it's
this.
It's up to you. There's
it's barely a slasher.
Here's the argument. We got to get into spoiler discussion real quick. There's not much to discuss, I feel like, which is about the movie, which is interesting. Because a lot of the movie is portrayed with Rebecca Hall's body almost and her monologues.
Yeah.
There's not much to... It's not Jordan Peele's Nope where we're grabbing all these
things. No.
The things were easily grabbed in the beginning of the movie. They didn't have to do...
You're getting very aggressive at me.
They just... No, I'm not aggressive at you. It's for content.
I know, but it's scary.
Okay. It's when they write a great song and they add that stupid part in the song and you're like, guys, what were you thinking?
True.
You know what I mean? You'll be hearing a banger and then they add a huge chugga chugga and you're like, there was no reason for this to be in there.
There was no need for this.
That's this movie.
Yeah.
Hack and slash. What I was saying is, from an artistic review standpoint, a lot of people loved Midsommar. They won't watch it ever again because of how it made them feel. But it's a masterpiece.
I just don't get... Man, Midsommar did not make me feel the way it made everyone else feel.
I'll watch Midsommar every day, and I will feel everything and love it.
I felt nothing.
But you're also... You've had a life that has built you for these types of movies and moments. Some people haven't had...
I mean, that's true.
So, I don't think it's... I don't mean to interrupt you. I don't think it's... You don't have to go by would I ever watch it again.
Yeah, because I definitely would not watch this again. Like I said, it would be a solid hack and slash if it wasn't for the little bit at the end that which we'll go into during the spoilers part. But man,
which we'll do right now. If you have not seen and care to see Resurrection 2022, we're gonna hit that spoiler music. We love you. Have a killer week. See you next week. And we're back.
Hey, y'all.
So ultimately, this movie deals with grief and abusive relationships and moving on. So long story short, let me get you the synopsis here. Rebecca Hall's character, Margaret, met David when she was in Canada or London? London?
Canada
or London?
Maybe it was London. I don't know. She was like 16 or something.
She's there with her parents. She meets David, Tim Roth's character. David sweet talks the parents. They start dating. They start seeing each other. You find out David is this crazy cult-like personality. He makes her do what he calls kindnesses when she messes something up or when he feels like she needs them. And a kindness may be you need to sit in this position for 8 hours and it's like a yoga backstretch position. You need to walk barefoot for this many days or until I say so. He basically manipulates her mind to think that he's making her stronger by having her do these crazy things and having her be the way he wants her to be. But he pitches it as, I'm making you stronger, I'm preparing you for life. You're happy when you do these things because you believe in power.
It's a lot of grooming.
It's 100% grooming.
It's a lot of grooming.
And...
narcissistic grooming.
Before David comes into the picture, you see a little bit of insecurity, but you also see a lot of power and presence. And then the first time she sees David is at that conference, right? It's in the trailer.
Yes.
She sees David at the conference. Then David's at the park. She goes and talks to him. He pretends like he doesn't know her. Ma'am, I don't even know who you are. And then he goes, Ben's inside me. Benjamin's inside me. He misses his mom. Lo and behold, she had a baby on accident with him. She watched him night and day like a hawk for 2 weeks, I think she says. She leaves for a second. David kills the baby. I guess the baby is off the record, off the grid, because they had it at home, so it doesn't
have.
Yeah,
they had a home.
The baby's
birth.
Off the record, so
they had a home birth, and she comes home and sees his fingers on the counter. The baby's fingers were on the
counter.
Yeah,
he left the baby's fingers on the counter.
And then Tim Roth said, "I ate the baby.
It's inside me.
It's inside of me.
But it's alive." She believes this, and she ends up bailing, escaping, doesn't see him for 22 years. Now she's living her new life as a head of a biotech company. The beginning of the movie starts with her helping an intern through an abusive relationship and her saying, he's a sadist, he sucks, like, leave.
Basically asking her questions that she went through, and she's like, you need to get the hockey sticks out of there. Like, this
and
guy's
the intern does.
Not safe for you. Yeah. So she basically saves the intern.
She does. The best part of the movie is when David starts coming back into her life. Rebecca Hall's character, Margaret, gets really cold with the intern, but then says, hey, I've been having a hard time. Can you lend me an ear? The intern says yes, and that's when she goes on this monologue, tells the whole story. Great acting. Sells it. Rebecca Hall murders it.
And that's where one of the cool cuts is, because it, like, zooms in on her face and everything turns dark.
Oh, yeah.
And you just see, like, her barely outline of her face.
And I start feeling uncomfortable. That's that the part, uncut gem stuff. And then it goes to the intern and she's crying and she's like, why would you say that? Is this a test for me?
Yeah, like, she started freaking out.
Which is a play on the kindnesses, because interns are doing all this bull crap.
Well, right. Yeah. Well, and before she said the story, the first thing she says is, would you kill someone?
Yeah, would you kill someone?
And she's like, what? Like, would you kill someone to save your family? Would you kill someone? And she's like, what are you talking about? And then she goes into the story.
So while David's there, she goes into his hotel room. She follows him around and he says, you're breaking the rules. I'm going to leave you and your daughter out of this. I just wanted to reunite Benjamin, your dead baby, who's living inside my belly, with his mom. And her daughter has a biking accident, and David kind of takes credit for it subtly.
Yeah.
He goes, I wouldn't want any more accidents to happen, Margaret.
Yeah, he knew about it and everything.
So David's very chilling. David Roth's character's, Tim Roth's character's David's very chilling, very manipulative, not mean. And that's how he did it well. He's not mean. He grooms very well.
That's why, 100%.
And I'm not endorsing it.
No, I'm not either. But
the acting was great.
That's why I'm saying the way that they portrayed this type of relationship was perfect.
100%.
Because it also shows how easily you can get back into those old habits. Because
she did. This is a woman who's the head of a biotech company, who's helping interns, getting them out of horrible relationships. It's the first thing that happens in the movie. What we assume, she's raised her daughter pretty well. Her daughter graduated high school with honors. She plays video games and stuff.
And she has a close relationship with her daughter until she started going crazy.
Yeah, starts going crazy. Everybody thinks she's going crazy. She's having an affair with someone at her office who actually has feelings for her. And they have, like, you know, magnificent fun times. That's the way I'll say it, because we're family friendly. And then it starts to get to where,
like, what?
She's very cold. And, you know, she starts to almost act like David to him, you know, because she tries
I wouldn't say like David, but she was very
She starts to manipulate him and use him a little bit.
She starts,
to be cold.
Push him away.
Yeah. She goes to shoot David at one point. David takes the gun. You're going to do another kindness for me. And she truly believes that she starts doing these kindnesses. She has to walk to work with no shoes. Starts doing the kindnesses. Truly believes Ben's in her body.
In his body. Because he, like, says, do you want to feel him? He's kick. And he, like, and she goes and puts her head next to his belly. And because she mentally is unstable, she starts to hear the baby's cries.
I hated it.
She's like, oh, my God, I can feel it. Like, so she's definitely...
I don't want to get doxxed.
Okay.
I just don't think being 22 years out, I don't think you spontaneously have recovered that much.
I think if you were that abused.
And we don't see the initial.
And you're put in. And you're.
I would have liked to have seen scenes like preluding.
I think if she didn't. Again, we know that she's mentally unstable. She is hearing things, but even before she believed the baby was in there, she was doing it for her daughter.
You're right.
She was scared for
her
daughter's life.
That's a good point.
So then she's like, whatever, I'm going to do what I got to do to keep my daughter safe.
And I'm not trying to be insensitive. Everybody's different. But I
feel like it's very easy to fall back into those
So habits. What we hate, that's pretty much the movie, I feel like.
Basically,
Rebecca does a lot of acting with her body. She does the kindnesses. She wears the emotion. She wears the conversation. She's a phenomenal actress. I really do love her. And I would love one day to ask her how she makes herself look. That's the first question I'm going to ever ask if I get to talk to her. How do you make yourself look 7 foot tall? Is there a way I could do that? Could you teach me? But the part we hate is one of the final scenes is they go to a hotel room, and David, we don't know if he's trying to have like a physical relationship with her
very
off-putting.
I don't know
You don't need a hotel room with dim lighting to hear and feel your baby in his belly kick.
I don't know what the motive was for David. I think he did want... I think he was hoping that that would be the final moment that he could fully capture her back. Yeah. But I don't know.
And in that moment, he's making mistakes.
He is.
Like, she goes to stab him and he just... blocks it and like, oh, you're making your baby sad. He's making mistakes.
I think he was saying that because that worked before.
I know, and maybe that's supposed to show the growth of Margaret's character.
Yes,
but he's also making he's making mistakes because when she goes to shoot him, he like cranks her arm, slams her on the ground, pins her down in the hotel room. And I'm not endorsing that. I'm just saying, if you were going to capture somebody or keep them from killing you, what you would do. She stabs him and he's like, oh, you know, he totally doesn't follow suit.
He doesn't really fight. I mean, he does a little bit fight back, but he doesn't full on like he did with the gun.
But he was a master manipulator in the park.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never met you before.
That's what I'm saying. What he knows is the way to win with her is to manipulate.
I'm with you. What I'm saying is, in the hotel room, when apparently he's got his hooks in, he is not the same person. And I don't know if they're trying to show Margaret's growth or if he just miserably fails in the conclusion of the movie.
I think they were trying to show Margaret's growth.
It was horrifically done. That whole scene was horrible.
No, that whole scene, it was. It was terrible.
She ends up, she tries to stab him with one knife, fails, gets another knife that's just hidden there, has some cringy dialogue. He blocks her. Leaves her open to still use the knife. She gets his Achilles. And then I think she strangles him. She like rear naked chokes him.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you're making baby sad. Like, he doesn't fight back. It's not his character the whole movie. And then she cuts open his belly and pulls a baby out. And I'm like, this is so stupid, dude. The final scene is she has her baby Benjamin. I can't even say it. She has her baby Benjamin, and then Grace, her daughter, I forgot her name, I'm sorry, who's played by Grace Kaufman, I believe I got that right. If not, I'm so sorry, is holding the baby. It's all going to be fine.
Abby.
Abby's the daughter's name?
I think her name's Abby, yeah.
Holding Ben. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. And Margaret's character is laying in bed, and she has this like, oh, life is good. And then her face changes to where, oh, life's not good. You can go either way with that. It's an Inception and ambiguous style ending. Is this all make believe in her head?
So,
is her daughter leaving for college and she's hallucinating all this?
Yeah.
Is David like watching her through the window, or did she wake up and everything's still happening and David's still around?
So when she took the baby out of his belly, there was a shot where you're looking at her back and she's holding the baby. It does not look like there's a baby in her arms.
Okay.
To me, I feel like she hallucinated all of it. And I think the scene where she's laying in bed is some weird heavenly thing that she's projecting because she wants that to happen.
Yeah. She'll
and
never
I
get
feel
over the
like
grief.
Her face is her, maybe she's in the mental hospital or something, you know, or maybe she's dead. I mean, I don't know.
I get it. You have to pull the baby out of his belly to get the scene at the end. I still hated the...
I thought,
It was so... It wasn't characteristic of the way the movie was going.
No.
Darren Aronofsky, totally expect that to happen. No.
Yeah, I just still think it was...
It was way out of left field.
I didn't like it.
It went for a, you won't believe what happens at the end of this movie. Remember how, like...
Yeah.
You know The Boy? The movie The Boy?
Yeah.
Where they're like, you won't believe what happens. That's a good crazy twist ending. Because that is the movie, yes. though.
But
this
almost,
was
no,
just
it's not
out of character.
It almost would have been better if she cut him open
and there was nothing there.
They didn't show it to us.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's a good play.
They didn't show it to us. They just maybe showed her face or something, or even if she wants to pretend like she's...
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I want to put it on and pause it and show it to you, because it doesn't look like she's holding anything.
Okay. I think I was just so groaned out.
I was, yeah. When they showed the baby, I was like, ugh, this is dumb.
Maybe revise the scene then.
Don't
show, like you said, don't show the
baby. Show the baby. You
like
can
that.
Do the whole thing, just
that's
don't show
and that's where you know we're not in Hollywood. It is what it is. So
Mr. Filmmaker,
Mr. Film School. Spooky gave it a slasher, I gave it a hack and slash. That's Resurrection 2022. You want me to take it away? Yeah, you got anything to say before
I do have
take
something
it
to say
away?
The reason I call it a slasher is because in my head it's what it really is. You know what I'm saying? So like,
fair.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like what the whole thing I explained is what I'm convinced it is, mm-hmm. and that's the only reason why I feel like it's a slasher.
I'm with you. I still think I look at a complete package, and they bombed, in my opinion, what could have been a really good
movie. Well, yeah,
ending.
The ending was
and
not
what
good.
What was a good movie.
I agree.
So, we're going to take it away. Thank you guys so much for listening. Apparently, our plays on the Nope episode were really good, so we hope you guys enjoyed it. I was under a lot of duress last episode, and you guys really liked that episode, so I'm so thankful. Shout out to my best friend David, who's got a podcast for video games called Suplex the Sticks. Shout out to one of my boys, Ben, who has the Bored Till Death podcast. They just started. They're on their third episode. Please go listen to them. Check them out. Support local and homegrown podcasts that's not getting support other than grassroots, baby. Just please, please, please. If you like what you've heard, if it's your first time or you're a frequent listener, we've got a ton of stuff. We've got Instagram, we've got Facebook, we got Twitter, we got TikTok. We're going to start doing YouTube shorts. We've got a Discord where we're just hanging out, talking about trick-or-treating, talking about video games and movies. Jet on over. We'd love to have you. If you think anybody would like the episode, especially as we're getting to what we call the spooky months, please share with them. Let them know what we do. We'd appreciate it kindly. I don't have any cool quotes to say. Have no idea what we're going to do for next week's episode. But if we don't have one, we'll let you know. If we do have one, we're going to bring the straight fire. Boo to you. Happy Halloween. Anything?
It's just going to be, our episode's just going to be an hour-long episode of me talking about Cult of the Lamb.
I got to go. We love you. Have a killer week.